God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us now sing the Magnificat, which is found in the beginning portion of your blue hymnal, S247.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life in which your Son Jesus Christ came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to life immortal. Through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David. and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm will be read in unison.
To you, O Lord,
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. And as soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and worries of this life, and that the day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We have an extraordinary cat in my family. Late at night, in the wee hours of the morning, in fact, I will often hear a plink, plink, plunk as this cat walks on the keyboard of the piano. This is the cat's way of letting me know that he would like to go outside, thank you very much. About 7 years ago, this cat wandered into our driveway, or so my son Jacob says. The cat is black and beautiful. We took her to the vet, and the vet said that she was a stray, so we should keep her outside and inside. Let her go out, said the vet, because she'll be happier that way. We decided to name her Coco. She was very affectionate and beautiful, except she had one kind of important issue. When Coco came in the house, she began to get in the habit of peeing in the corners of the living room. Have you ever smelled that before? It's horrible. I rushed to the grocery store looking for every other kind of cleaning supply, trying to figure out how to get out that awful smell, and just when I would get it out, she would do it again. Well, one evening, Jacob had Coco on the bed, and he was patting her, and he had her on her back, and he said, "Mom, come here." "What?" I said. Jacob pointed. Coco looked a lot like a boy. I said, "Jacob, the vet said that Coco was a girl." Jacob pointed. He said, Then what's that? And I said, I have no idea. So Jake called my husband, JD. Dad, what is that? JD said, Jacob, the vet said that the cat was a girl. Well, Dad, then what is that? I don't know, he said. Finally, I was overwhelmed with this horrible smell and convinced that no one would ever come to our house again. So on the verge of tears, I took Coco back to the vet to ask if there was any way that we could train her to stop doing this in our house. The vet said, whoops. Coco is a boy who is spraying in your house, and there is an answer. He must be neutered. Well, poor Coco, he was neutered. It did solve the problem, and we changed his name to the Coconator. The point of this story is that my husband and I, because we had been told by an authority that Coco was a girl, we did not look at that cat. We did not see. We were told what to think, and so we thought that way. Jacob, on the other hand, who is younger, more creative, and probably much more open-minded, would not accept what he was told and kept on questioning. Advent means coming. It is the 4 weeks that approach Christmas. And in this season, you are asked to look at the world differently. How you see your daily life is what is called into question in this season. Because Jesus speaks very clearly to us Christians and tells us that he is coming back. But if you are not looking, you might miss him. One of the greatest sins in this day and age is our busyness. We cannot avoid it. It is all around us. If you are working in this culture, it is like trying to walk between the raindrops to avoid busyness. We all are busy. But what happens when we get very busy is that we tune out. We go to sleep. Every morning we check our iPhone and our calendar, and we know exactly what's going to happen next, and we know what the day is going to look like, and someone has already told us exactly what it will be like, and we proceed through it, and meanwhile, we are not awake. Jesus says that the state of your soul, your very salvation, is dependent on your awareness. In other words, it's not enough to just believe in God if you're always consumed with your obsessions or your calendar or your busyness and you're half asleep. We must practice awareness. It is essential that we do that. And awareness does take practice. It's like exercise for the physical body. You have to exercise to keep your body healthy, right? I mean, we all try to get out of it, but essentially we know that we need to exercise to stay healthy, especially as we get older. The same is true of the human mind. If you do not practice awareness, how will you be awake when he comes? If you spend your days worried or consumed with your busyness, with unresolved relationships, with worries, then you will not see. Then you do not see. Jesus says that in order for us to be prepared, to be awake, we must unburden our hearts. You and I must carve out time for God. Put it on your calendar. Carve it into your day. It could be 5 minutes. That can make an enormous difference in your life. But I'm talking about time where you are sitting still and not just talking to God, but listening. Now, you could be listening to the scripture, you could be listening to music, you could be looking out your window, you could be looking at an icon, but you are trying to be awake, to be present in the very moment itself. I know that each and every one of you, like me, at the end of the day, if you think through your day, I'm sure you can come up with one or two events or occurrences that have dragged your heart down. Maybe someone disappointed you. Maybe you disappointed yourself. It is essential that we let those things go. Release your heart, Jesus says. Do not let it be dragged down by excess anger, by worries, by things that you wish you had done differently, by disappointment. Unburden your heart so that you can be awake and watch for the coming of Christ. And watching takes practice. In Haiti, there is an orphanage where there are 57 children. They have a playground with very little grass, a place where they eat and they sleep in a little lean-to with a tin roof where they can hear the Haitian rain coming down. There is one girl in the orphanage whose name is Karinette. She's 7 years old, beautiful, dark-skinned, bright-eyed girl with wildly bushy hair. And Karinette is different from all the other children because of one thing that has happened to her recently. An American couple has decided to adopt Karinette. They've already raised 3 children, and so they visited the orphanage to meet her. They brought her 3 gifts, a teddy bear, some treats, which consisted of granola bars and cookies, because they felt guilty about just giving cookies, and some pictures of their family. Karinette is a very thoughtful 7-year-old. She decided to give the teddy bear to the director of the orphanage for safekeeping, because all of the toys get completely worn out and destroyed at the orphanage. The granola bars and cookies she passed out to every child there. But those pictures, she clutches them everywhere she goes. And when she's eating her meals, or when she's on the playground, or when she's in bed, she's always looking up and wondering, are they going to come? She knows that her parents are coming to take her home and that they could come at any moment. So she's always looking for them, always expecting them, always watching and waiting with a kind of joyful expectation holding on to their pictures, ready for her new life to begin. And that, my friends, is how you and I are called to live. We don't really belong here, you know. We're waiting for our Father to come and take us home. And we clutch our pictures of what that might be like, the pictures that were given from Scripture, the feelings that we have about it. And every time that you meet a stranger, every single time, there should be part of you, if you're awake in that moment, that wonders, could that be the one? Because he's coming, you know, and I don't know when it will be. It could be at the moment that you die that he comes for you. Or it could be that he will come while we walk this earth. I don't know. But I know that we are called to be ready. So wake up. Be alert. He's coming.
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
With all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, come among us. For all who are ill, suffering, lonely, or in distress, I invite you to speak their names aloud. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For the welfare of the world, for peace among nations, wisdom for our leaders, and an end to all hunger and suffering, Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For the church throughout the world and this congregation here gathered, that we may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For those who have died, that they may be welcomed into your light and presence, I invite you to speak their names aloud. We especially remember Jeffrey Lynn Mayer and Steph Stephenson. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
for all who have come to worship here today, that we may have the strength to reserve time for you during this Advent season. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come on us.
We give thanks for the coming of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us also offer our thanks for our many blessings. I invite you to name your blessings aloud. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come on us.
Father in heaven, help us to awaken to your presence, that we may see you as you come to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us confess our sins to God. God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of Christ be always with you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. If you're new or visiting, we have a little card in your pew that you can fill out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. We're so grateful you're here with us today. We also will be sending you online a daily meditation for the season of Advent. These meditations are written by members of our parish. They are brief, and I hope they will give you a little bit of a chance to listen. So you'll be receiving those online as well. Tonight we have a beautiful offering here at the cathedral, which is an annual tradition. It is called the Advent Procession of Lessons and Carols. It is a service full of candlelight and beautiful music. It begins at 5 o'clock, and you're all welcome to come. Following this service in Tolliver Hall, we have a lot of wonderful activities. You can make an Advent wreath. Do you see our Advent wreath here? The Advent wreath is designed to help you meditate on the light of Christ, which is coming into the world. So what we do in my family is we put it on our dining room table, and before we eat, we will light the first candle during the first week, then 2 candles in the second week, and so on, until the light of Christ fills the whole circle and comes into our world. So you're welcome to make one of those for yourself. In Tolliver Hall, we also have a lot of things for sale for Christmas. We have books and crafts and an alternative gift market with proceeds going to wonderful charities. So come and take a look and find things that you would like. Also in Tolliver Hall, we have what is called an angel tree. You all have heard of an angel tree? On the tree there are ornaments, and on each ornament is the name of a child. The child either has a father in prison or is living in the homeless shelter across the street from the church. You'll get the child's name and what they would like for Christmas, and if you would go and buy that present and bring it back to the church by the 16th of December, we can then give the child a Christmas present. And for the fathers who are in prison, I was very impressed, they have to actually apply and fill out a lot of paperwork. So they do put in a lot of effort for this present to come from them, and they write little notes that they would like you to put on, which are heartrending, about how they miss their child and they're proud and they love them. Lastly, next Sunday, we are going to ordain two deacons, one of whom is our own Quinn Parman, our youth minister, who has almost completed seminary. So come join us next weekend at 5 to celebrate that. And we have one more very important thing to celebrate. At the cathedral, we always celebrate when someone turns 90. We also celebrate when some couple has been married for 60 years. So today, I would like to call up Randall and Dorothy, and they are going to briefly renew their vows. Come on up. We thank you for your wonderful example of fidelity and love to one another. Now you need to stand and face each other, okay? Right here. Good. Yes, and your son can stand in the back. That's wonderful. Perfect. Friends in Christ, we are gathered together with Randall and Dorothy, who have come today to give thanks to God for God's blessing upon their marriage and to reaffirm their marriage covenant. Randall, do you here, in the presence of God and of this congregation, renew the promises you made when you bound yourself to Dorothy in holy matrimony?
I do.
Dorothy, do you here, in the presence of God and of this congregation, renew the promises you made when you bound yourself to Randall in holy matrimony?
I do.
Put all your hands together. There we go. May God the Father, who at creation ordained that man and woman become one flesh, keep you one. May God the Son, who ordained this manner of life by his first miracle at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, be present with you always. May God the Holy Spirit, who has given you the will to persevere in your love and in your covenant with each other, strengthen your bond. And may God, the Holy Trinity, the source of all unity, bless you this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Let us give them a round of applause. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
How wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embraced a people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From them, you raised up Jesus, our Savior, born of Mary, to be the living bread in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners, and with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms on the cross. On the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour out your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation. May they be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy things in your presence, form us into the likeness of Christ and build us into a living temple to your glory. Remember, Lord, your church in every land. Reveal her unity, guard her faith, and preserve her in peace. Bring us at the last with John and all the saints to the vision of that eternal splendor for which you have created us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. By him, with him, and in him, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic ministers who will be bringing communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God watch over you who wait for Christ to come again, you who long to see his face. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.